And I was thinking that this really, as we introduce our lesson tonight, I was thinking of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 15, that has the Lord giving three servants different talents, 5, 3, and 1. And each one was given a talent according to their ability. And, you know, sometimes in life, and this is a lesson for all of us, we wish that we were somebody else. And, you know, you can't be somebody else. You have to be yourself. There was a preacher's wife, an elder's wife, that gave me a really good bit of advice. It said, you need to learn to be comfortable in your own skin. You need to know who you are and what you are. And don't be a second-rate version of somebody else. Just try to be the first-rate version of yourself. And do it for the Lord, and you can do it with the Lord's help. So I think that's a good lesson for all of us, because all of you have a place, you have unique talents and abilities that you need to use for the Lord, and I want to encourage you along that line. And to help encourage us to faithfulness, tonight we want to praise our faithful God. We're going to be using our songbook, because we had a little mix-up on the songs and email, but I'm going to project verses, and I want you to listen very carefully, because God is speaking here tonight. Brother Bowman encouraged us to read Scripture publicly. There is nothing more powerful or profound, than the living words of the living God given to dying men. Our theme tonight is praise our faithful God. Psalm 95. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. This is a call to worship, for God is both sovereign and he is Savior. When we contemplate God, we are because God is. We depend upon God for everything, and he depends upon us for nothing. In Psalm 104, we have a call to praise God, who is the great creator. This is a psalm, a nature psalm that extols God. Jehovah is the eternal, awesome creator who alone is worthy of praise, as the originator and sustainer of all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He established the earth upon its foundations so that it would not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they hurried away. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which you established for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass over, so that they will not return to cover the earth. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. God's power and care is seen in the creation that is both massive and sensitively adapted for life. We think about what power it is that God has to mold the universe and to create a world with skill and beauty that shows that there is a God. Non-life cannot produce life. Life only comes from life, and God is the supreme giver of all life. Psalm 145, God is praised as the faithful provider. This is a psalm of David as he praises God for his faithfulness and providing for him all through life's twists and turns. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. David knew God as a shepherd boy. He knew him as a military hero. He knew him even as a fugitive on the run from Saul, and he knew him as king. And at all times, God was never late. God always provided what was best, and he knew God's faithfulness and God's provision when no human help would do. And so we can know that God is always there, that God always cares, and that he promises not to leave us or to forsake us. As God, the faithful provider, he is utterly reliable. God is praised as the majestic king. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in verse 10 and following. This is David's last address to the nation. Before he dies, Solomon is chosen to be his successor. But David is not anxious about this transition or what the future holds, because God is the majestic king. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven and on the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord. Here David sees that God is in charge. That's an important lesson for us. Who ultimately is in charge of the world? Well, it is God. David sees him lofty and exalted, lovely in his regal splendor and majestic in power. And so David was not anxious about the transition in leadership, because he knew that God is in ultimate control. We love a God who condescends to love us, because he is altogether lovely in his regal majesty. So God should control our lives. Also, God is praised as the holy judge. In Psalm chapter 9, David praises God for his holy hatred of evil. David praises God for defeating and judging evil. The Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment, and he will judge the world in righteousness, and he will execute judgment for the peoples with equity. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in time of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples his deeds, for he who requires blood remembers them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Scripture praises God because he is the writer of all wrongs. He is the righteous judge, and there will be a day of judgment on sin and evildoers. That God is holy and just in all his doings. There is no inequity with God. Sometimes the injustices of life chafe our soul. We wonder, why does God allow evil to go on? Wickedness seems to be out of control. Yet God is watching. And God is keeping a record. And there is going to be an accounting, whether sooner or later. And once God acts in judgment, there is no escape from the clutches of his holy justice. We ought to praise God because he is holy. We ought to praise God that we do not live in a world where might makes right, but rather right makes might with God. God is a holy judge. God is praised in Scripture as the compassionate deliverer. Psalm 116 is a psalm of personal thanksgiving, of a grateful remembrance of God personally intervening and helping him at a time when he needed it most, something the psalmist will never forget. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. The psalmist was in a dark and gloomy place. He had no one to turn to but the Lord. He was at the point of death. He was at the lowest point in his life. And yet God could reach all the way down from heaven and lift him out of that deepest, darkest pit and saved him from mortal danger when all seemed lost. Praise God that God is far above us in might and power, but that he is near to us in mercy and grace and compassion, and that he can lift us out of the darkness into the light of his presence. God is praised as the Lord, the gracious Savior. Psalm 22 has been called the Psalm of the Cross. It is a prophetic prediction of the sufferings of Jesus on our behalf. This Psalm of David had some application to him and his troubles and trials in his life, but the New Testament applies it to Jesus in his suffering for us. And as we read this, remember, the lashes are on his back, the crown of thorns have been pressed into his brow, the nails have been driven into his hands. But what was going on inside of his mind when all of this was happening? This is an x-ray of the cross as we see the mental anguish Jesus endured for us. And I need to remember, and you need to remember, he did this for me. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord and let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look. They stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. Here we see why Jesus was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is why he suffered, because this is grace. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We should praise God for such a wonderful Savior. God is praised as the forgiving Father. In Psalm 103, this is a psalm that praises God for His mercy, which we all stand in need of. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. We see that God is a forgiving God. God is ever ready to take us back. God is the God of the second chance, or as many chances that we need. The Old Testament says that God delights in mercy. Christ established His church, the kingdom of new beginnings, because without mercy we have no hope of heaven whatsoever at all. God sent Jesus to make the supreme sacrifice, to pay the painful penalty, to die the just death in our place. His mercy forgives and forgets. Micah says that He buries our sins in the depths of the sea. And He puts up a sign that says, no fishing. His mercy, though, we remember, is conditional. Faith and repentance, baptism into Christ. When we sin, we repent and pray for forgiveness. And God has promised to forgive us. And for this, we should rejoice. Praise God, the forgiving Father. Praise the Lord, the faithful Shepherd. The book of Revelation depicts vividly in symbols the conflict between Christ and Satan, between the forces of an empire and the church. Tacitus, in his history, records that Nero, who was the first persecutor of the church, put to death a multitude. He would dip them in pitch and set them on fire and use them as lamps in his... Did they die and waste their life? And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. That's a symbol of victory. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Those who were killed for being faithful to Jesus Christ didn't throw their life away. Their troubles had ended, but their life had not ended. They were received into glory. And they didn't die for nothing. The person doesn't have something worth dying for, then we don't have anything worth living for. Christ, the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd who laid down his life and defeated evil, can guide us through this life in time to eternity, before the throne of God, where there are pleasures forevermore. And so we all have a choice. Who is going to control and to direct my life? Is it going to be Jesus, the good shepherd, or is it going to be Satan and the lust of the flesh and the things of this world? When we have the Lord, when we realize that all the Lord is all that we have, we discover the Lord is all that we need. Praise the Lord, the faithful shepherd. So we invite you that you can become a child of God tonight by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think about a privilege. You can have a right relationship with the God who made you, the God who has a plan for your life, the God who wants to provide for you, the God who wants to help you, the God who sent his Son into the world to suffer for you, the God who has a place prepared where there's joy and peace and love forevermore. And what more do you want? And what's keeping you back from wanting something like that? For you all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Will you live faithfully to our great and faithful Lord? Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. The book of Revelation is the context of even if they kill you, even if they kill you, I'm going to be a friend to Jesus. Because when we come to the end of the way, Jesus is the only one who can carry us safely to that eternal shore.